the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
2015 was a busy year for this week's guest. She signed a record deal and released a music video that went viral globally. That success shows no sign of stopping this year, as she's been nominated in the Best Female and Most Promising categories for the Hot Press Magazine 2016 poll. And she's performing here in Brighton in May as part of the Great Escape Festival. On the phone with me right now, it's Cork singer-songwriter Stephanie Rainey. Hello, Stephanie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Very good, very, very good.
Now, you've had a very successful 2015, I would say, music-wise. You signed to Warner Records and produced a viral music video which went around the world. What's your take on what the year brought?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was quite unexpected because I'd taken like a little break. Like, I'd released an EP which had the track that kind of went viral on it, but I took a little break for like the first half of the year just to make videos because it was one thing I kind of hadn't nailed down. I'd done all the recording and everything. And then I made a video for one of the tracks on there. It's kind of the slowest track on there. Probably the one you'd least likely bring to radio. But it just meant a lot to me. So I kind of made a music video for myself, really. And then it ended, like, in August, I'd finally got the last edit of the video done. And I put it up and it just went, like, crazy. Just went absolutely crazy. Like, it was, the end of the first day, it had, like, a million views. And then the phone started ringing and, like, lots of record companies were kind of calling me up, and then I ended up signing with Warner's over in the UK, and yeah, just absolute madness. I mean, it's hard to describe it when I look back on it. It's kind of like, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about that song. It's Please Don't Go. You released it as a single, and you released a video for it last year. When did you write the song itself?
I'd written the song maybe like 2 or 3 years earlier. And I decided to put it on an EP because I love that song. And whenever I played it live, it always got like a very kind of, I guess, a unique reaction, really. Do you know, like, people really listened to it and they kind of understood what I was saying in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to record this for the EP. And then I was like, I really want to make a video for it because I think I could make a really cool video for it that would be very genuine and hopefully kind of helpful in a way, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, I wrote the song, it was about, I lost my nephew about 12 years ago, quite suddenly, so, like, that was kind of, like, one big kind of, I suppose it was kind of, it was almost like a defining moment, really, in my life. It changed my life in a lot of ways, like, in the sense that, like, my outlook on life kind of changed a little bit and stuff like that, and so I suppose I'd had that experience of losing somebody, and I kind of, it took me a long time to write a song that I felt really captured, like, the feeling or the, I don't know, like, the, I guess, the meaning of kind of how I felt about losing somebody. And I wrote the song, like, a couple of years later, and I was just, whatever way it happened, I was visiting a friend of mine in the hospital, and all of a sudden I was in there, and I was just hit by this massive wave of, like, empathy. It was like I could feel it again. So then in the car when I was going home from the hospital, I had the lyrics written by the time I got home, and I just demoed it up really quickly when I got back. Like, it was like it came from nowhere, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just one of those really weird things that I just felt like, for some reason, just perfectly summed up, like, a moment, do you know what I mean? And I just kind of wanted to make a video that matched up to that, and I think I did that with Please Don't Go, you know?
Yeah, no, the video itself, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's, I would say tear jerker doesn't even go near what it does. It's,
no.
I suppose it's a video, it's a nice black and white video of people who have lost someone in their own lives, and they kind of answer questions throughout the video and write the answers on a white card. What kind of gave you the idea for the video itself?
I suppose I'd seen, like, flashcard things before, like, and I just was like, okay, if I could kind of, like, make a video like that for Please Don't Go, but keep it really simple so that it kind of, like, it almost... It didn't go into too much detail, really, because I didn't really feel like it needed to. So I don't really know where the video came from, like, where the idea... I just had this idea one day. I was like, that could be really, really nice. But I also knew that it would be very hard to do. Like, it would be really... Because I was obviously doing all this stuff on my own. So I kind of kept it to myself for a long time. And then I ran it past a friend of mine, and I was like, I don't know, I was like, I'm kind of always afraid to say this out loud, because if you think it's a terrible, horrible idea, then... I'd be like, I can't believe I come up with that idea. Or I didn't say it's a good idea, then I'm going to be like, I kind of have to do it, you know what I mean? Mm. So I ran it by her, and she's like, straight away, she's like, I think that's a big, like, she's like, I can almost see it already. So she's just like, I really think you should try and do it. So I got on to people I knew quite well, like my brothers in the video, just lots of friends of mine and people who I've known, like just from since growing up, basically. And obviously I asked a few extra people as well, and they said no, you know. I kind of had to explain it. Like, it's funny, instead of ringing people, I sent out a text message, which I know might seem a little strange, but I felt like I needed to explain it in complete detail, you know, because I was kind of like, this is what it's going to be, and this is what, it's going to be hard, do you know what I mean? It's not going to be like an easy day. And some people said no, and then the guys that said yes, we got them in over 2 days, and then filmed each, like, interview separately. And, like, straight away from the first one, we could see that the footage was just, like, absolutely amazing. Like, I didn't even know how the edit would turn out at that point, but it's just the honesty, like, it's just crazy. So, yeah, it was, like, weirdest, most humbling kind of 2 days. Like, I know it sounds really kind of like a cliche, but it really was, because it was just one of those things. And I suppose even some of the answers that were given on the day from people who I knew very well surprised me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
things I hadn't thought they were thinking, you know.
Because it's a very, I suppose it's a very personal video, I guess, to them, and I suppose everyone that watches it can probably relate to it as well. Did the video come out the way you thought it would do? Like, in other words, the way you visioned it in your own head when you came up with the idea, did it surpass that, or was it kind of pretty much what you expected it to be?
It totally surpassed it, because when we filmed it, we set up like 3 different cameras, but when people sat down to talk to it was my cousin at the time, she's a producer on, like, with Irish shows over here, so she's very good at, like, interviewing people, so I asked her to help me out with the interviews. It was like they didn't feel like they were being filmed, the people who took part, because you didn't want them to feel like, okay, now you're on camera, you know.
Yeah.
So it was the stuff that we captured that wasn't the cards. It was like the way they sat down, they were kind of nervous, and then when they were thinking of the answers, you know, we put all that into the video. And I was kind of worried about that, because I was afraid that people wouldn't watch it for long enough to get to the answers to understand what the video was truly about. But actually, like, people got it straight away nearly.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it took ages to edit the video. Like, I plagued the editor. Like, I'd say he hates me, but, like, I just really wanted to get it right. And I was so worried about, like, I wanted it to reach as many people as possible. I didn't really care whether it did or didn't, if that makes sense. I was kind of like, I've made this, I'm really proud of it. If it reaches, like, one person, I'd be happy. If it reaches, like, 10 million, that's just a bonus. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, so I sweated over the edit, and then one morning I was like, I have to just put this up. So I did it, and yeah, just took it off. It was mad.
Yeah, it went nuts, didn't it? Were you surprised by the reaction then? Because as you said, had over a million views at the end of the first week, is it, on Facebook?
End of the first day.
First day, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was absolutely, completely blown away by it. And a little bit panicked in a way as well, because I suppose I hadn't thought that it would happen. And so I guess for the people who were in the video, I instantly felt like quite guarded for them, if that makes sense, because I was kind of like, I don't think I could have predicted that would happen. And then I was kind of like, you know, now it's gone from like being in a small room to the whole world seeing it, pretty much, like. And I kind of was a bit like, I was like just texting them and being like, it's kind of gone a bit more crazy than I thought. Like, are you cool with it? Like, how do you feel about it? And everyone was just like, it's amazing. And I suppose they were just kind of like, you know, thinking of it as like a legacy thing, you know. It's like that there are people that they lost that they loved so much kind of had this thing that people were seeing and sharing your stories. Because that's the other thing that blew me away, is like under the video on Facebook, like people just sharing with each other their stories, what they had been through. I was getting messages from people. Like, I was hundreds, like I'd say thousands of messages in my inbox on my Facebook. Wow. From people, you know, just telling me about their story, and I tried to reply to them all, like, pretty much did, within reason. And it was just mad. It was absolutely mad. And then amidst that, then there was like people getting on to me from like America, like record companies and stuff. But it was just crazy. Like, absolutely, I could not have predicted it, like, in a million years. No way. No.
Hold your hand till it goes cold. Hold my tears until you go. Oh. please don't go.
Now, how long were you kind of singing and songwriting for before that, before all that happened?
Like, I've been doing it for about, like, well, I've been writing songs and stuff like that and, you know, playing music since I was about 15. So I've been doing it for such a long time. And I do think it took me, I studied it in college. I think it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to sound like, I guess. So that EP was kind of like the real first bit of, you know, thing, like the first thing I really felt like I was like, yeah, that, you know, I can really get behind that and be like, yeah, that's kind of exactly what I wanted to do at that moment. You know what I mean? So I've been doing it for such a long time, just slogging away. So it was like, it was funny when people were kind of getting on to me, kind of going, you know, we're from Mill, who's like representing Stephanie and stuff. It's just like getting back to them being like, it's just me here at home in Glanmire. You know, there's no team.
Which
was kind of daunting at the same time, but at the same time, it was kind of like, yeah, you know, kind of it worked out in the end. But I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, so you said your style kind of came together for the first EP. What was your spark then to put that EP together in the first place? Because that was released in 2014. It was called Half of Me. What made you decide to bring out an EP?
I guess it was just kind of like, I felt like it was time, and I also felt like, you know, I either need to kind of do this like properly. I felt like kind of come to a place where I was like, you know, I feel like I've grown enough, like as a musician and as like a writer, and I, you know, playing live and everything, that I can do this and really get behind it. And it just felt like it was the right time to do it. Like, you have to do that when you're an independent. You have to do something that's worthwhile, you know, because just before that I put up some covers online. I did one or two really choice covers, and one of them did really, really well. It was getting played on Irish radio and everything like that, randomly, like absolutely randomly. So it's kind of like, you know, now is the time, some people know my name. Let's kind of just try and put something together and get it out. And it charted over here in Ireland and stuff like that, and it did quite well. But like, I never had nailed down the kind of visual side of it. And my big thing with songs has always been like, my big thing is I've always wanted to get my songs in movies. So I was like, take a break and do it yourself. You know what I mean? Because nothing was kind of happening. So I was like, you have to just do it yourself if you want this to kind of pay off. And it did. So it's like, but it took a while, you know. I kind of thought it was sinking ship, and then all of a sudden, one thing changed it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and has that song that you released, "Please Don't Go," has that been asked to be in a movie yet?
It's getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the thing with that song is that like it's not to rush into any moment for it, and you know, because I think the video is so good for it that whatever moment we choose to put it to needs to be really special, because I think the song kind of has that vibe to it. So I think for me, it's like about waiting for that one killer moment where it's like people will remember that moment, and it'll come, but it needs to be the right movie. You know what I mean? I don't want it to just be anything. Like, I know that kind of sounds kind of silly, but I want it to be something that has like some depth and some meaning to it. Like, because I think it just needs to live up to like the video that we made for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So the dream might come through then?
The dream might come true, yeah. I mean, so far it's been going pretty well since the end of last year. I don't know, I think it's kind of only hitting me lately, really, because like, it was just such a chaotic time that I didn't even have time to think about how crazy it all was. And now I'm kind of like, even though I'm very focused and everything, I'm a bit like, God, that was mad, you know?
Yeah. Like,
crazy, yeah, absolutely crazy.
And I read kind of as part of that craziness, you were recognised when you flew into California last year.
Yeah, that's really strange. I flew into California. It was actually to meet like a big label over there. And it was literally the same week as I put up the video. So that's how quick things were happening. And we were at, you know, when you go to customs in America, like they take your fingerprint and like you've got to get your eyes scanned and all this kind of stuff. And I was sitting there, and he looked at my passport, and he was like, "It's Stephanie Rain." He's like, "Did you write that song?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." I kind of pretty much knew. I was like, "Oh, yeah, it was." And he said, "Wow." He's like, "And he'd already asked us kind of what we've been over there for," and I was like, "We're here to meet some people about music. There's no point in lying at that point because we were only there for like 2 days." He was probably like, "Why are you coming to LA for 2 days and then going home?" And he was like, okay. So he's like, really quietly, he's like, "So my boss is over there, and if you could just step back a little bit there and we'd just get a selfie. So I just laughed and I was like, okay. So he took a selfie and then he was like, asked me for my autograph, which is like the first time that's ever happened to me, right?
Wow.
In America in customs. And I walked away. I was like, that was like the most random thing that's ever happened. So that was kind of mental because obviously then I was like, you know, that's just the beauty of the internet though, isn't it? Because it means that people in America had seen it. Whereas I just kind of hadn't assumed that, if that makes sense. You know, it was just weird.
It's very surreal though, isn't it? Because like at customs especially, you're so kind of paranoid and nervous, and then for something like
totally.
That, just to come out of the blue.
Yeah, totally. Because as well, he was more or less saying like that if he got caught, he'd probably lose his job. So I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
It was pretty mental.
These four lonely walls have changed the way I feel.
And the in 2015 as well, you signed a record deal with Warner Records. How does it feel, kind of having that backing behind you now?
But it was like it was kind of a twofold feeling, because I suppose in one way it was kind of like it was really nice to have gotten there to that point, like off the back of something that I kind of done myself, you know, because obviously that followed like releasing the video and all that kind of stuff. It's just, I think what it does is like, it just takes the burden of certain things off you. Like, I mean, it really, I suppose it takes the burden of like having to worry about every single little detail of being an independent artist. And I don't have any experience yet with the label of like releasing something, because that's going to come, you know, like a little bit down the line. And it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, you know what I mean? But I suppose the dream is always to kind of get signed to a label. But I also know that like, as amazing as it is, you have to work at it, like, to make it work. Because so many people get signed, you know, and I think that's kind of my focus. Like, I'm like, I know that so many people get signed and sometimes it just doesn't work out. Like, I'm lucky because I think I feel like I have a really good team around me, and like Warner's have been amazing so far, and I think they really understand me as an artist, which I think is very important. So I feel very, very lucky, but I also feel like, you know, it's not just up to them, it's up to me as well.
Yeah,
I have to really work and really stay focused, and also work at staying like true to myself, because, you know, things, you know, you can get a little bit skewed when so many people get involved, and it's not up to them like to make me kind of stay true, you know, to what I kind of did all along. So yeah, you know, it's, I guess to answer your question, it just takes the burden of like, I guess, cost, maybe, you know, like paying for recording, because like that was the kind of stuff that I was basically working all the time to do. Like every single penny I ever made was put back into music, so it kind of takes the burden of like all the little things off you, but the workload is just the same, and like the creativity side of it is just the same. It also, that's the other thing, it does let you just be creative, which is like, that's amazing, because you know, so much of your time is eaten up when you're independent doing the things that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You know, you should be just focusing on music, and that's the best part of it, I think, you know, for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very, very grateful to be in the position that I'm in now, and hoping it'll just kind of last is the real answer to the question.
So I suppose, yeah, it kind of takes away the business side of things and promotion side of things away from you, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, stuff that you just never, I think, there came a point in music a couple of years ago where, you know, like people weren't getting signed as much, and then, you know, it's still kind of that way. Like, I mean, they are signing artists, but it's not like back in the day, everyone was, you know, anyone who they thought would be, could go, would get a record deal. Whereas then that kind of era of independent music came out, and it was just kind of the time when I was getting started that happened. And, you know, it kind of felt like in my mind it wasn't what I signed up for, like when I started music, if that makes sense. I didn't ever expect to be the person who was like recording my own music, like doing all the artworks, you know, getting photographers, you know, trying to do every single little thing. So it's hard, and it's really hard. That's why, like, I'm like, you know, I feel super grateful to have come from the independent side of it to crossing over to being with a label. But like, yeah, it kind of takes away from like the music side of it, really, which is bad when you're a musician, because it's not what, you know, you have to kind of think of everything, which is tough, you know.
Now, you're playing in Brighton as part of the Great Escape Festival. Is this your first time coming to Brighton itself?
No, I've been to Brighton a few times for social reasons, which have been all of them amazing. But I've never played there, so I'm looking forward to playing a gig there. I mean, Brighton is one of the best places on the planet. Like, the week before I put up the video, I was actually in Brighton.
Were you?
I was going to my friend's wedding in Greece. Okay. And me and my boyfriend and two of my really best friends went down there just for a day before we flew out to Greece. And, like, we just had the best laugh down there. It's just such a great place. Like, it's just so relaxed. And the sun was shining. It's just great, you know. So hopefully it'll be funny when we get there for the gigs. And I think the vibe will be the exact same.
Yeah, it's an amazing place in the sun. All right, in the summer, Brighton definitely kind of has a lot going for it.
Yeah, I've been there in the winter as well, I must add. I stayed in a hotel on the waterfront like a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And I'll never forget the wind, like, and the rain.
Yes.
It was tough.
You're pretty much a Brightonian as it is. You've experienced.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You're there. What was I going to say? So you're playing the Patterns upstairs on the Friday of the festival from 7:45 p.m. Are you going to be doing new music or covers or old? What's the plan, do you know?
It'll be a lot of the stuff I've been working on lately, and then obviously, you know, stuff that people know. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a lot of new music, I would say. Might have one cover in there. It's always good, but we'll see. So, yeah, it's going to be new music primarily, stuff that's probably going to end up on the album, which is always exciting to play. And it's good to play it just to kind of see what people think of it. But, yeah, it's going to be good.
Cool. And what's the plan from here on out then for Stephanie Rainey?
I mean, the plan is just to keep working on music at the minute. That's going really well so far. And then I think, it could be an EP before an album, but it's kind of a little bit up in the air. But definitely an album to come, I would say, next year, early next year, or late this year, depending. Just more music, really, which I'm really anxious to kind of get going on. But I've got to stay calm, go with the pace. But yeah, more music really is the answer.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. Stephanie, thanks very, very much for talking to us this week.
Thank you very much for having me.
Gonna take the only chance I've got, 'cause hands are running round this clock. You've been the only one I've wanted for so long now. So long now.
From the heart of Brighton, a taste of home.
The other sort of people I pass and I toss and I shake my head.
Yeah, probably.
I'm kitted out in all the proper gear.
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show, What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.